The word that the Lord spoke to me was that devotion precedes promotion. In other words, dedication, consecration precedes promotion. And what promotion is advancement. It's promotion. It's going forward. It might be, you know, we always think of that in a career or ministry, but it's talking about going forward, advancing in relationships, in healing, in not only just work and ministry, it's in every area. A few months ago, I had a dream that gypsies came to our church and tried to steal my purse, and I submitted that to Celia, and she helped me decipher that, because gypsies are synonymous with those that steal, cheat, lie, and wander. And I felt like the Lord, as I've just prayed and meditated on that, that the Lord's saying, and, you know, we felt like those kinds of people are going to come to this church. But before we can minister to them, we have to get our own house in order. We have to deal with the gypsy that's in each one of us. We all have a tendency, whether, you know, it could just be wandering in our thoughts. It could be cheating and, you know, maybe being chronically late for work or something like that, cheating time, you know, just, and I'm not talking even necessarily about big things. I'm talking about the small tweaks that God wants to make, because all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient or profitable. And what was permissible in 2011, God is saying is not going to be permissible in 2012. It's the little foxes, it's the little things that spoil the vines. And if we can't be trusted in little things, we can't be trusted in big things. And I think, you know, what God is wanting us to just stop, reflect, and repent are any of the little areas in which we might be stiff-necked or arrogant or resistant to correction or wandering, you know, and being double-minded, that kind of a thing. So I'm asking you right now, don't resist the wooing of the Holy Spirit on this, please, because it's His goodness and kindness that leads us to repentance. And God adds by subtracting. That's what pruning is. The scripture, it said, for it is God's will and intention that by doing right, your good and honest lives should silence, muzzle, gag the ignorant charges and ill-informed criticisms of foolish persons. Live as free people, yet without employing your freedom as a pretext for wickedness. Live at all times as servants of God. So what I'd like you to do right now is just put your hand on your heart, and I'd just like everybody to just close your eyes, bow your head, and just take a minute and say, God, is there any area that needs to be submitted to you here so that you can advance me? And I'm going to pray, and I'd like for each person to just repeat after me, because even if you're not in a place where you think this applies, just pray it out, so that those that it does apply to, we cover them. We're all going to say it together and just agree and cover each other. So just repeat after me. Father God, I surrender. I surrender this or these areas to you. And I ask right now that the power of the Holy Spirit work in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure, not my pleasure. And Lord, right now, I just lift up each and every person here, because the promise that we have then is when we do this, Lord, now I'm just going to pray a promotion over each and every person here that has done this. Father God, we've made this transaction, and I'm now praying for promotion over each and every person according to your word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him, and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. So, Lord, I pray for each person here that you would do exceeding abundantly above all they can think or ask or imagine, and that what eye has not heard or ear has not seen or has entered into the heart of man, Lord, that you would now begin to manifest in each and every life here. And I just would like to say, if there is anyone here that has a need, please raise your hand, any need, physical, whatever, because I feel like now is a time that we can rally around and pray for these things. Okay, just look around and see where the hands are raised. Pray if you are the one to go pray for them. You might not be. You may be the one that is to stay behind and just do intercession. Thank you, Lord.
All right, that was all for free. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to have fun today. God's news is always good news and always fun news. Amen? Okay, now remember when I ask those kind of questions, man, a little bit more feedback than two of you. Man, God's good news, it's good news, right?
Yes.
It's always full of life. It's always full of joy. It's good news. Angels showed up sharing to a group of shepherds, man, at the birth of Christ. Man, we got good news for you. It's been good news for 2,000 years. It's been good news for 4,000 years, even in the Old Testament. It is good news. If you hear a message that's not good news, I encourage you to start interceding for that speaker. And hopefully you'll never have to intercede for me. Yeah, intercede for him that's good too. Lord, send him fire down on that brother. Now, so as you, yeah, come on. As you have 1 Corinthians 2 there, find Colossians. We're going to read these two scriptures. Find Colossians 2, 11 through 15. We've also started four different life groups. The Joneses do one on Monday night, and some of you are coming to that. The Clevengers and Pences do one on Tuesday night. The Pages are getting ready to start one with young married groups or married groups without kids, double the income, no kids. Dinks is the famous name that they're calling that. And then we have started one here on Wednesday night. And all of these life groups are good. You don't have to come to the one that C and I are leading. Then we're doing it here at church. Read your emails and you'll see the addresses and everything. But by far, this past Wednesday night was the best Bible study I've ever been part of. And if you missed it, you missed it. Because it really was about, it's time to go from orphans to royalty. And it's amazing as I ask the questions about, give me the language of people who live and think like an orphan. It's amazing. We were rapid fire. Rejection, fear, jealousy, blah, 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 blah. But we can talk the language of an orphan real well. But then I says, well, give me the language of royalty. We struggled to get there. And it's amazing as my message last week, and it's titled this week, The Language of His Spirit. I did that because Jason, y'all, 4 months ago, used to call me, hey, what would you title the message? So I never said the title of my message when I would start. The last 4 months I have said it, but yet he still texts me on message. Hey, what's the title of the message? So we're working with one another here. So I'm just giving you a hard time back here, bro. But the language God wants to teach us. As I made a fool of myself on Wednesday night also, I talked about how I've gone to Mexico for 16 years. You think I'd take time to learn Spanish. But I haven't done a very good job of that. In fact, I even said the first two words that I basically knew was caballeros, donde caballeros, and I thought that was where's the bathroom. I found out the other day it's where's your horse. So I really haven't even known that good of Spanish, if you will, in a lot of ways. And so as they all made fun of me for about 5 minutes. Yeah. She had already corrected me the other night. So you don't need to do it again, Charlene. I appreciate it. When I try to get an amen, I don't get that. But when I get correction, they shout me down. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Just playing with you, Charlene, playing with you. And so then I really grew in my Spanish when I really stepped out there and buenos dias, buenos tardes, buenas noches. which is good morning, I believe, good afternoon. I'm not very confident in my Spanish right now. And good evening. But then as the people would be walking by me in Mexico, I'd try to be thinking, okay, is it morning time? Is it buenos dias? I mean, I struggled with the language. You know what I'm saying? Well, so many times we're like that in the spirit of understanding we're sons and daughters. But yet, just like I know English real well, that's the way we know the language of an orphan. We know it real well. We think about rejection. We think about fear. We live it. We live in abandonment. And we know the language of an orphan way too much. Especially if we all sit here, and I believe I know pretty much everyone, and there's going to come a time that there's going to be a lot of lost people in this church and churches all over this nation, because there's going to be a move of God again. But I look here, and I believe every one of us, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, my question to us, I believe the question the Lord's asking us, is why do we struggle with the language of royalty as much as we do? And each of us really have to come and have an individual conversation with God. And we need the Holy Spirit to burn the orphan language out of us. So last week I started here, and I want to go here and then over to Colossians, and it's good news. 1 Corinthians 2, let's start with verse 7. Know the wisdom we speak of, and this is Paul writing this through the Holy Spirit. Know the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, His plan that was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Holy Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Break down this scripture a little bit. Paul is talking about there's two kingdoms that's colliding, two languages. One language is of the natural, one language is of the spiritual. He's also talking about there's two languages of the Spirit, though. It says when the rulers, if they would have only have known, they would have never let Jesus Christ go to the cross. If the devil would have been as smart as Jesus, as smart as the Father, he would have never let Christ go to the cross. This is so, so very, very powerful that we have to understand that we really do have a language. It's kind of, and I know that many of us have heard this story. If you had some antennas that we could put up right now, we would pick up all kinds of radio transmissions. Let me tell you what, there are two transmissions that are going on night and day. The language of the kingdom of darkness that tries to get us to live in an orphan thinking that we're rejected, we're abandoned by God, that we need to live in fear, that God's never going to come through for us, He's never going to heal us, He's never going to break us out of our poverty. But there's another language that if we would put up that antenna, which is our hearts, that is the language of a Father that tells us that there is nothing that can separate us from His love. That there's this God who so loved us that before the times of creation of the earth, He says, I'm going to give my Son that will be the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth because I love my creation. When we were singing that song a while ago, when it talks about creation is crying out, and so will I. When we have an encounter of God's incredible, amazing love, we should literally be like what it says in Romans 8, Abba Daddy, Abba Daddy. But many of us, if not all of us, sit here in a shell or a veil of the language of an orphan around us that the Father's love has a hard time penetrating to the depths that it says here. He wants to show you the deep secrets of His intimacy. He wants to show you the deep secrets of His truth, of how deep His mercies truly are. In fact, when you blow it, you can step into the winds and the waves of His mercy the second you blow it. And when you have a bad day today, He says, "My mercies are new every morning." He's covered it all of how great His grace truly is, how powerful His forgiveness truly is. His forgiveness is transformational. His love transforms my life and your life. Do you know the language of an orphan greater than you know the language of Daddy's heart, that you're royalty? All right, let's keep going. Let's flip that over to Colossians 2, 11 through 15. Some of the coolest scriptures in the Bible right here. Colossians 2, 11 through 15. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by spiritual procedure. When we pray and we sing things to the Holy Spirit like we did a while ago, you see, it's that invisible world, but our hearts should be able to feel it just like what we just read in 1 Corinthians 2. Today, Daddy wants to breathe something new of His goodness and kindness into our lives. Then right here it says that it's a spiritual circumcision. Amen? We have got to get in tune with the Holy Spirit greater and greater in the things of Him. But not by physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Does it sound like you ought to have some orphan language on you or not? Come on, church. It's time to read the Bible and walk in the promises of it. You and I should not have a sinful nature, and we really should not have the orphan language as deep in us as it is. Am I right? Come on, shout me down. I mean, we really have to walk in what Christ has already done. So much of our prayer life, is Christ has already accomplished it 2,000 years ago. There should be revival breaking out today everywhere we go if we walk in the identity of what Christ has already paid for. When we do outreaches to Harry Hines Boulevard, prostitutes and lost people down there are going to get saved because we have a revelation that we're sons and daughters of the King. Your workplace tomorrow should have an atmospheric change because you don't carry a sin nature of the earth. You carry the very Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, lives and dwells within you, and you carry this great, awesome message. Now tell me how we say, "No, I'm just a sinner and I get saved, you know, God loves me, but I'm still really a sinner." No, you're a saint who might have a sin every now and then. But it says right here, the very sin nature has been cut out of you. So why do we walk around and confess something so opposite of the Word of God? Because we've listened to the orphan language of the kingdom of darkness far too long. You're kind of like me going to Mexico. You can't speak Spanish. And it's time that we get to the point to where the orphan language hits your heart about as often as I can hit the right Spanish words. That your currency is of the true nature of God's love. And really, the only voice you know is the voice of Abba Daddy. Amen? All right, let's keep going. This even gets better. So the sin nature's cut out of you. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God. Okay, raise your hand if you're a Christian. Okay, what does it say here that you have? It means that you have the mind of Christ and a new life. Man, we ought to be dancing a gig every day. We really should. Let me tell you what, I watched a great football game yesterday, and my wife, as well as my son-in-law, as well as my daughter, heard me get very rowdy and radical in that game. I enjoy sports. I believe God's created great movies and sports for Mike to enjoy. I get very rowdy when it's a good football game. It was a great football game. I even had my wife excited about it as how good of a cheerleader I was. My neighbors probably heard me screaming even when the tight end from the Saints caught that ball and raced 40 yards as he was pushing this guy away, stiff-arming him. I say that to say this. As much as I was dancing and shouting for joy last night, can I tell you, I should be dancing and shouting for joy more of the true nature of the promises of God's Word. And when I don't wake up as way more excited about these promises than a game that's temporal, that ended last night, and this is eternal, let me tell you what, there ought to be a lot of shouting going on in the American church. That would have been a good time for you to shout me down. Heaven's rowdy. I mean, I think they're still studying Revelations. They ought to be talking about how there's worship going on in heaven that's all these tongues and tribes, and it's rowdy. There's only 30 minutes of silence is what it says in Revelations. In other words, if we're asking God, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, don't you think church ought to be a little bit more rowdy than it is? And not as businesslike as we've made it in the American church? Amen, right? Golly, man. Come on, Jesus, help me. Give them this idea. Give them this revelation. Okay, so let's go on. Verse 13, you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ. And forgave you of all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. How many of you are living in shame, and the devil is the one that's been shamed now and not you? Oh, come on, man. That was really good. And that's a promise in God's Word. Too many of us are walking around shamed because of our past mistake, our past sin. And it says right here that I am a new creation, that I have new life, and it's not me who's been shamed, but it's the devil. It's time to quit walking like orphans, and it's time to strut. Because of God's greatness and what he's paid for through his son, and release the royalty all around us. You know, I'll turn on Hollywood every now and then when they have the big movie thing and they roll out this red carpet. That's a counterfeit red carpet, and you have the privilege to carry the carpet of the king everywhere you go. Hollywood desperately needs the carpet that you carry. That is Christ, and you carry that everywhere you go. You don't carry it when you have a perfect day. You carry it all the time. And when we sin, we need to learn to start repenting quickly, because it always keeps me in right standings with God. Amen? I wish somebody'd get excited about this message. Okay, so let's talk about the record that it talks about, that your record was taken away. In the days of Christ, if you remember, at the cross, it had the record of offense of what he had committed that was worthy for him to be put to death. And it wasn't just like that way for Jesus. It was that way for anybody who was put to death. It would have their offense put in wood or whatever above the cross. And of Jesus, if you read the Gospels, it was the reason he's being killed, the record of worthy of death was he was the King of Jews. But you see, when you read this scripture, you need to realize that it's also talking about there was also some spiritual resumes that he hung to the cross. Those spiritual resumes was sin that any and all creation ever committed. There was murder. It's what Moses and Cain did and other people. There were sexual sins that I committed in my unredeemed days. There was the druggies and the drunkards that I committed in my unredeemed days. You see, if you can really go back and you could see that spiritual realm of that record, all of the resumes that were nailed to the cross when Jesus was nailed to the cross. You see, it's the resume of orphan living because Adam and Eve decided, we're going to try to eat the fruit that God told us not to. When Jesus hung on that cross and started releasing the language of the Spirit of God's love in a whole other realm, every sin that had been committed in the past and to that point and in the future were nailed to that cross. And when it says that Jesus Christ came to make home with you because of the Holy Spirit, all of that stuff was cut away. And he remembers it no more. The devil's the one that tries to come and get you to take it back up and live like an orphan. It's time to get spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and hear how great this message really is. Let's talk about how great and powerful and redeeming his language is. Because I think some of us think we're just barely getting by and we're barely going to get into heaven. That you're barely getting by every day of survival mode. See, this is orphan living and thinking when you think the devil is far stronger than God. And in reality, if you're really honest, some of you that sit here today really believe that. You think the devil has more power to deceive you and lead you astray than you have in faith that God can lead you and bless you. God's word says that the one in you is far greater than the one in the world. It says here that he triumphed big time over you, over the enemy. In other words, last night's game, I think it ended up 36-32, it's a nail biter. When Jesus defeated the devil, it was 100 trillion to nothing. But yet, many of us live like we're barely going to get through and barely get by. Let's talk about how awesome it was. How awesome the message of good news is. Old Testament, Moses kills a brother. Right? You know the story? He kills a dude. And God picks this dude who killed a guy 40 years earlier to be the one that would bring his children out of Egypt into the promised land. Does that sound like this is good news? That he takes murderers and redeems them and uses them to be a deliverer? Let's talk about Rahab. She's a prostitute. She's a prostitute. And Joshua sends a couple of spies in there. She puts them up for the night. Not in that way for the night. And she goes, hey. And again, we're talking spiritual here when we read this in Joshua. Man, we know something's different about you. We've heard how powerful you are. Man, when we heard the Red Sea cross, I mean, divide open up, our hearts melted like wax within us. That your God is the all-powerful God. The devil has melted and has no victory over his church. This is Old Testament I'm talking about of Rahab. Hebrews says the thing that we live and walk in is a better covenant. Okay, so even gets better with Rahab. So she protects him over the night. She gets up and she says, hey, when y'all come in and y'all start taking your land that God has given you, would you protect and remember me and my family? She says, you bet. All you got to do is put a little red scarlet cord down. So when the walls of Jericho come caving in, message is good news. Her and her entire family is saved. But you see, God didn't just barely get her into the camp of salvation, right? What does she end up getting to do? She gets put in the lineage line of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, come on. Is that good news? This is awesome news. He takes murderers. He takes prostitutes. And he uses them big time.
Come on, Winnie.
Yeah, come on with it. Man, we got to sign her up more. Man, and we keep walking around depressed. Woe is me. The devil's doing this. The devil's doing that. Apparently, we're not reading the Bible that we need to be reading. So we got a murderer and a prostitute doing great things for God. We got David who has a little hiccup himself. He has adultery. He finds out the lady's pregnant. Oh my gosh. Okay, bring the husband back in off the front line and we'll get him to sleep with his wife, and then we're going to say, oh man, congratulations that you and your wife are expecting a kid, when David knows it's his kid. And so, deceiver, manipulator, liar. Well, this man of God is such a man of God of integrity, as Richard and I were talking about integrity before. He won't even go into the house and sleep with his wife. He sleeps on the door, on the front porch, if you will, and not come in and sleep with his wife. And when David calls him the next day, man, why didn't you go in and sleep and enjoy your wife? He says, how can I when my men are out in the fields in battle and war? How could I go in and do that and enjoy a moment of pleasure? You talk about integrity, we need to look for that dude when we get to heaven. That's integrity. So David goes, okay, I'll have him back over that night and I'll get him drunk and he won't know what he's doing. He'll go sleep with his wife. Well, the dude apparently can handle his liquor pretty good. Better than I did in my day, apparently. He still doesn't go in and do it because integrity trumps the fault. David, he's run out of chances. Take this note, give to the man in charge. Tell him to put this guy at the front line and get him killed. God forgives David when he comes to his senses and repents and uses him to be one of the greatest kings of all of Israel. Does it sound like he barely got by? It sounds like he walked and lived in abundance. How about Gideon? Big old chicken, crybaby, everything else that we've all been. Woe is me. The enemy's come in for 7 straight years. There's no hope here. Where's the God of miracles? God of miracles, he's nowhere to be found. Blah, 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 blah. Sound like some of our tape recorders? And God goes, because it's the incarnate Christ that's there. And all of a sudden, Jesus manifests just a little bit of his good news. Calls him a great warrior, mighty man of valor. Changes his name and changes his destiny. Does it sound like he just barely got into the kingdom? See, that's not the way our daddy works. When I go to Cachera, to Colorado, and please feel free to send me there for a 1-month sabbatical come August. Kidding, kidding, kidding. When I look at the stars, does it sound like God just barely got by and had enough creativity to hang in the heavenlies? Or is it millions upon billions of galaxies and stars? He's extravagant of what he has hung in the skies, in the heavenlies. He doesn't just barely get by with the little. And he says, all of that's going to fade away and that you're more important than all these beautiful birds he's put in the sky. He even can keep a count, and it's really hard to keep a running count of my hair count. That's how much he cares and watches over us. These things, does it sound like we're barely getting by? Or does it sound like we're listening to an orphan spirit way too much? Just a little bit more longer. Man, when I was preparing this, I got pumped and excited thinking of these guys. Peter, the guy fails, denies Christ three times, and Jesus comes and uses him to be the voice at Pentecost. Did you know you and I sit here today because of the Holy Spirit in Peter? Does it sound like guys and gals are just barely getting by? Or is there an abundance? Then there's Saul, who is killing and dragging people out of their homes and killing Christians. And Jesus encounters him on the road to Damascus. And you and I sit here today because of an Apostle Paul. The language of his spirit is love. How about the woman caught in adultery? She's been dragged through the street to be thrown down in the midst of Christ. You talk about abundance, extravagant. When Pharisees are trying to trap him, the son thinks like a son. And the Bible says in John 8, he stoops down there and he draws something in the dirt. And then he leans back up and releases abundance. He says, those without sin, throw the first stone on this woman. Of course, we've all had sin. Those Pharisees knew the word. Scripture says that each of us were conceived in sin because it's the nature of what we lived in that time. And all of a sudden, they all drop their stones and walk away. And Jesus says, where's those that were wanting to condemn you? And she goes, they've all left. You talk about abundance. Jesus declares, you're not an orphan, but you're a daughter. And I don't condemn you either. That's the abundance that God never runs out of. We could go on and on. I encourage you to be reading the Bible and looking at the abundance of God. It's time to quit thinking that we barely get by and we're barely going to make it to heaven. I'm tired of hearing Christians say, oh, the devil's just beating me up. Well, man, you're not living where God said that you're to live. You're seated in heavenly places. You're not seated in the depths of hell. That's Scripture. There was a resume of death that we went over. Drunkard, druggie, sexual sins, jealousy, disobedience. What about the resume of life that you carry now? The red carpet. You're his beloved. You're the apple of his eye. I have that written down. Very good, bro. You're his son. You're his daughter. You're a saint. That's the reason those people who rooted for the 49ers yesterday, you were moving totally against the prophetic nature of God. Just kidding. Thought I'd throw that in there a little bit. Just come on. See if you're still awake at this point. You're kings and priests. You're an ambassador. You're more than a conqueror, etc., etc. is your resume. The handwriting's already been nailed to the cross. The message is far greater than we can even imagine. But it says in 1 Corinthians 2, that we can imagine it, we can see it, and we can hear it. That was Old Testament that was quoted out of Isaiah, and we get to eat and drink of the greatness of God. Come on, shout me down. Last but not least, Yeah, I won't go there. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So I ask you today, how much of an orphan language are you listening to? See, and I, 30 years ago, I'm doing drugs and alcohol, and I was even thinking of this when I thought about how great this message is. She may not even remember this. When I was drunk and stoned really bad one day, I threw her down on the bed in anger. And she let me know if I ever did that again that I would be needing medical attention. So in the midst of a fight, I never threw her down again because I was afraid of medical attention. And ladies, if anybody ever mistreats you like that, you need to do the same thing my wife did. Because I'm not making light of it at all. What I'm trying to see is who stands before you today, 30 years later, is a message that's come and circumcised time after time after time again. And He gives us more of the nature of His love. He removes poverty thinking out of us. And He makes us sons and daughters because He's a great daddy. He's so deep that you and I could live to be 900 years old and we would never attain to the fullness of His greatness. It's time that when you and I talk together, that there's no orphan language found in us. It's time that we are so full of love and excitement and thankfulness and joy and peace, all the traits of royalty. You see, for some of you, you sit out there and you need a breakthrough in your marriage. Man, we understand. But His kingdom and His message has reconciled, restored, and now uses us to be ambassadors to tell of His great love. You have a message. You are a living epistle to the greatness of this good news, who is Jesus Christ. So in closing, if you know you've been listening to an orphan spirit far too much and you're ready to radically change and hear this incredible voice of the Father of glory, greater and greater, I want you to stand. I want to pray over you. It's time to know the language of His Spirit. It's time to really know 1 Corinthians 2 that I can see the greatness of who He is. Ear can hear the greatness of who He is. That we can know the deep secrets of a daddy's heart for creation. Does that sound like a cool stuff? Let's pray. Well, Father, I thank You for each and every one of these men and women of God. And I thank You, Lord, that their eye is going to see the greatness of Your love, the greatness of Your name, the greatness of Your mercy, the greatness of Your kindness that even causes us to repent, the greatness of Your love that just goes deeper and deeper and deeper and takes murderers and prostitutes and druggies like I was, throwing a wife down 30 years ago, and transforms our lives and uses us to touch Your creation. So Lord, I speak Your blessings over every one of these men and women of God. May they know the fullness and the greatness of Your good news. That You're the God that took that record of offense, of sin and sickness. And for those that are sick in this body, I speak and declare that He paid for that. For those that are longing for conception, that are husbands and wives, and they think, God, where are You? God, I declare You took that offense also. And I speak forth blessings in life over reproduction areas of their life. God, I thank You that eyes and pancreases that need to see and need to be healed to produce the right amount of everything, that diabetes will no longer be in any of the languages of these people's hearts and lives. We say we quit tolerating the things of orphan fruit in our lives that is sickness, infirmities, and generational curses. But we stand and declare of what You have done, King Jesus, that we'll walk in abundance and not poverty. And we ask these things in Your great and awesome name, the One who is the good news, Jesus Christ. Amen.